Well, let me just give you just a quick thought here from James chapter 4. Stand, if you would. And I really would, I'd love to cover 13 through 17, but I'll not rush through it, and we'll get the rest of it when we get to it, whenever that is. But let me give you the thought, and we'll enter into this next section of James. We've dealt with spiritual maturity, and James's admonition or challenge to us as believers is to grow up. So please understand, if you're here tonight, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Primarily, you're not included in the audience that James is writing to. He's talking to saved people. You can't grow up till you've been born in. Come on now. So you have, in order to grow, you have to have life. In order to get life, you have to know Christ. But then after you get born again into the family of God, synonymous with being saved is being born again, you become a child of God. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So James is dealing with Christians, particularly the Jews who were scattered and being persecuted for their walk with God, but saying to them, you need to grow up in the Lord. Grow up in the Lord. Spiritual maturity is growing up in the Lord. And as we deal with the growth or the maturation process for the child of God, he began by dealing with the Christian and his battles. That was trials. Remember that? Trying of your faith, work of patience. He got later on in that passage of scripture and talked about the Christian and his Bible. We're born again, not a corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You do remember that. Amen. And then he got to chapter number 2, faith without works is dead. So that's the Christian and his beliefs. Amen. So you're going to have battles if you're saved. I don't care who you are. You're going to have battles. But in those battles, you have to hold to your Bible. Amen. And then as you hold to your Bible, you must believe right. Your beliefs must be rooted in the Bible. And as you believe right because of the Bible, then it affects your behavior. So that's where we concluded last week in James chapter 4, the section of the Christian and his behavior. Now, as we get into this last section, we're going to deal with the Christian and his boasting. The Christian and his boasting. Listen, now watch this now. The more you grow up in God, the more you go down in pride. Amen. Listen, the way up in the Christian life is always down. Don't miss it. The way up is always down. The more I look at God, the less I think of myself. So we deal with James chapter 4. We're going to deal with boasting tonight. And I promise you, just a few minutes, I want to give you this section of boasting. And this section of boasting I've entitled, You Will Not Be Here Forever. And it seems like the testimonies and the challenges and the comments and a lot of things that people were alluding to fit right in line with what we're saying. You will not, you won't be here on planet Earth forever. But you are now. Go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let the church say amen. Our Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the ways that human beings tend to boast is not just vocally with their words, but oftentimes visually with their ways. See, your life can be boastful without speaking the words in a bragging manner. It's just this aura or this air about me that I'm here and everybody should be glad I'm here and I'm going to always be here. It's just simply not an indication of spiritual or Christian maturity. So James says, in this growing up process, as you're battling and as you're handling your Bible and as you're dealing with what you believe and as your behaviors are being shaped into that which resembles the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said one of the other ways that spiritual maturity indicates itself in the life of a believer is the elimination of boasting. Now, we saw last week and in several weeks before that how God expects us to humble ourselves. We often say, thank God for that person. That person keeps me humble, but that person ain't with you 24/7. You got to humble yourself. Here in James chapter 4, there was an attitude of eternity about some Christians. They acted as if, they spoke as if, they lived as if. I'm going to be on planet Earth forever. I decide when I go. I decide what I do. I decide how I live. And I decide when I do it. And James said, listen to me, you're spiritually immature if you think you're going to be here forever, and you're also spiritually immature if you think that while you're here, you're calling the shots. We heard just a few moments ago, God decides when we get here. Amen. Not the doctors, not the one looking at the baby, not the one pronouncing how long someone's going to be here. God decides. And sometimes when people have determined our fate, God says, I got another plan. Tonight I want us to think about, you won't be here forever. And the first thing I want us to look at is what I call independent planning. Go to now. I call that appointed declaration. The word go to now really means, hey, take a look at this. Listen what I'm about to say. Consider what I'm directing your attention to. James said, hey, you believers, go to now. Everybody in Crossroads Baptist Church, James said, hey, I'll point out something to you. Everybody pay attention to this right here. Those of you that are planning your life independently, watch this now. When I say independently, I mean planning your life outside of the direction of Almighty God. James said, listen to me. You're making plans. And listen to me. James is not saying that making plans is a bad thing. There's enough in the Bible that tells us about not planning. As a matter of fact, God says he even uses a creature like the ant to show us how to plan. So James's critique here is not against planning. It is, however, against independent planning outside of God's direction. So I want you to think about this. Here's how immature believers plan. Number one, they set a particular date, today or tomorrow, when I'm going to do something. Number two, they have participating distinctions. Who's going to do it? We will go. Come on now. We will go. They also have a precise destination into such a city. They also have a prolonged duration and continue there a year. They also have particular doings and buy and sell and get gain, which is a prosperous determinant. Wait a minute now. They've got a particular date. They've got participating distinctions. They've got prolonged durations. They've got particular doings, and they've got a prosperous determinant, as if I know where I'm going, I know who's going, I know what I'm going to do, I know how long I'm going to be there, and I've already determined it's all going to turn out in my favor. One problem, I didn't ask God. And James says, all you out there that have already decided what your life's going to be like at a day you don't know what it's going to be like, he said, go to now. In other words, I'm talking to you. There's nothing wrong with having a 10-year plan. There's a whole lot wrong with having a 10-year plan that wasn't devised by God the planner. indication of spiritual immaturity. Now tonight, one more, and then we're done. Not only does he bring about independent planning, but he also has a problem here with improper presumption. Here's what James says. In order to make all of those plans about where, who, what, how long, and what will come about, you have to presume you'll be alive for all of that to happen. And James says, unfortunately, that's a presumption of which you're incapable of making. Well, in 10 years, I'm gonna. How about this? In 2018, I'm gonna. 3 years from now, I'm gonna. And in a while, we're gonna. And by the way, I'm not only telling you when I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna tell you who I'm gonna do it with. Next year, at this time, I'm going to do this with these certain people. No, not them, them. And we're going to do it this long. And when we're there this long, we're going to be engaged in this kind of activity. And I'm already telling you, this activity is going to bring about predetermined gain. And then James says, yeah, but you forgot one thing, first of all, that you have an uncertain future. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Now here's what James, here's a passage of scripture that James can speak to every human being without fail, including the psychics and the soothsayers and the self-proclaimed prophets. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Nobody in here can predict the future. Come on, I said nobody in here can predict the future. And so what I'm saying is, how can you make plans for your life without God when you don't know what the future holds, and God's the only one that does? You have an uncertain future. And then lastly, before we close, this improper presumption not only includes an uncertain future, but it includes some unquestionable facts. What is your life? There's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is a funny thing, isn't it? James compares life to a vapor. It's transient. If you're taking notes, it's here and then it's gone. And it happens that fast. By the way, it happens to all kinds of people. I mean, unhealthy people die, but so do healthy people. I mean, black people die, and white people die, and Hispanic people die, and Asian people die. Everybody die. Now older people die, but so do babies. Right? I mean, people in third world countries that don't have proper medical attention and institutions die, but people die in the best hospitals in the world. Are you listening to me? I mean, poor people die, but so do rich people. I mean, uneducated people die, but so do intellectuals. Are you following me? People who never acknowledge God die, but so do people who are Christians. The unifier is that none of us know when, but all of us know that someday this transient life will be over. You know what it says to me? I've got a time that God has for me. And if I don't take advantage of that time God has for me, I'll never get it back. Now, I'm one of these people that I've just always been like this. I believe that God puts you here, and there has to be some drive in you to seize the moment. Some people think they're going to live forever, so they make all these kind of plans. Some people think they're going to live forever, so they do nothing. I mean, it mirrors different ways in different people. Some people are going about all these kind of things in life because they've got all these plans because they think they're always going to be here to have these plans. And then some people think, I've got plenty of time to live, so I don't need to plan because I'll just wait 10 years from now and start planning then. Listen to me. Either way, it's wrong. It's not in my hands. It's in God's hands. But we all have a window. And when, as I have preached just so many funerals, seems like more and more I'm preaching funerals. The funeral programs always have a year of birth and a year of death, and of course a hyphen in between. You're going to have to ask yourself, because you can't determine the years. God does. But you can determine what you do with the hyphen. Maybe I should call this message, what you doing with your hyphen? And here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that the urgency and the motivation to maximize what I do with that hyphen, amen, comes from knowing that in any moment that hyphen could be over. And it shouldn't be that we need tragedy, funerals, or hospital visits, or a scary movie to get us thinking about it. Every day, and I mean, I may call it crazy, but every day I live like it could be my last day. Every message I preach like it could be my... That's why I'm so driven. Because if my hyphen ends tomorrow, the energy I save for this message won't do me any good. I won't need it there. So I'm just might as well use it all up now, because it might be last chance I get to use it. Now, I know you young people have got plans about future and all of those things. But I'm telling you, you may never be old enough to live out those plans. What you going to do now with your hyphen? And there's nothing wrong with glorious dreams and goals. I mean, a child of God with no goals is a child of God with no direction. But what are you doing now? Arlene, you'll remember that book, Today Matters, that we talked about. How it speaks about how many people are so bound in their future goals and plans, and yet they don't make the best of today. Now listen, I know this is deep, but I think a Sunday night crowd can handle it. You can't get to tomorrow unless you make it through today. Now, chronologically, that's pretty simple. But profoundly, it's pretty poignant. Because so many of us are already at tomorrow. It's amazing. When the church hears me closing in a message, Bible start closing, purse start grabbing. You know why? You're already in your car while you're still in your pew. But the message not done. And God forbid that you'd miss what God wanted you in the last 5 minutes because you was already in your car. Now, I don't mean literally in your car, but make sure we don't check out on God to tomorrow when God said, I still got something for you today. And we've all been there, and everybody gets emotional at funerals and all of these kind of things, and people say all these things, and I'm not saying they're lies. I'm just simply saying, the emotion of that event will wane. And you'll be right back to your old self after you get out of that morning service. But why don't you get up every day and go, God, this could be it. I'm not trying to be morbid. God, this could be it. And by the way, if you're a child of God, if it is it, that's not bad news. I mean, I'm cool with today being it. I just don't want to drown, you know. I mean, let it be it in a pleasant way. I mean, I don't want to burn to death. I don't want to drown to death. Just let me preach and then just skip, and then I'm right up there, and then And then y'all can figure out the rest. But I ain't trying to go out or be some, oh, he suffered a lot. That's all right. Just let us get it out. Let's get it over with. I mean, let's just get it over with. Get me on the glory. Let me see my Savior. But we're still here. And I plan to be here for a long time. I plan to be here for 2018. But I'm not going to wait till January 1 to start making some changes. I'm going to do it right now. Now listen to me. You won't be here forever. Have you ever been in a situation where life flashed before you? It's pretty thought-provoking, isn't it? It's like, man, you almost got smashed by a big truck, or you were about to back up and there was someone behind you and you stopped and thought, what would my life have been like if I just ended someone else's? I thought like that before. How would I go on? Or what if mine came to an end? Or what if those I love, their life came to an end? You'll never be able to say I love you to your spouse once they're gone. And you'll never be able to say yes, ma'am, to your mother when you don't have her. And you'll never be able to bake some goods for your pastor if he's gone. So do it today. In all seriousness, before we close, my go-to motivation experiences, I relive Delaware with Pastor Mike just probably almost every day. It just flashes through my mind. What if? I relive it, and sometimes I scare myself. It's hard to explain, but I scare myself into thinking this time it's going to have a different conclusion. Thank God. Thank God that it doesn't. But it happens that way a lot to me. But it makes me think, good night, was this like, was I there? I mean, life was, it could have been, wait a minute now, it should have been over. But God. Because the doctors told us the hyphen should have had a date after it right there. And God said, yeah, but what about that lady at the hairdresser that's going to get a flyer a couple years later and those 20 folks that need to get saved? The hyphen says to be continued. Okay? To be continued. We've all got to find a way to get ourselves there. I don't know what your go-to is, but I wake up every day thinking, man, I gotta touch somebody. I gotta preach my guts out. I have got to maximize my time with my family. I've got to use my 24 hours to do as much for God as I possibly can, because just maybe, and God's not going to email me if it's the case, just maybe my hyphen gets a date after it today. And I don't know who you are tonight, and I'm not trying to send you out here worried about dying, but I am saying to you, knowing that you will one day ought to change how you live today. Amen. Our Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord. There are some folks sitting in this building who face some difficult physical ailments and some close calls. And yet by your grace, they're still here. You got something for them to do in that hyphen. You got something for all. Everybody in the building tonight under the sound of my voice has a to be continued hyphen. Forgive us, Lord, for being like a wasted vapor that doesn't accomplish its purpose. May we live like this is our last chance. In Jesus' name, amen.